This is SB Nation Radio, and you're listening to Game Night with Matt Perrault.
On a Friday night is Game Night, SB Nation Radio. Let's talk to one of my favorite SB Nation writers, Harry Lyles Jr., joining us here on Game Night. Harry, Matt Perrault, good evening. How are you?
Matt, how's it going, buddy?
Going great. So you wished Tom Brady birthday in a very cruel way on Twitter. So what I want to ask you, since you put the picture of Brady's pick six in the Super Bowl and Brady's flailing tackle attempt, I want you to tell me what you were doing at halftime of the Super Bowl as a Falcons fan. Well, last February.
You know, I was in Washington, D.C. At the SB Nation offices, and, you know, when that specific play happened, our managing editor, Brian Floyd, he and I had lengthy discussions because, you know, obviously as a lifelong Falcons fan, you know, I've known nothing but misery. And, you know, obviously, like, I was nervous leading up to that game, and he said, well, this is going to go either one of two ways you're going to get, because he's a Seahawks fan. He says, okay, you're going to get the first Seahawks Super Bowl, or you're going to get the second. The first, obviously, was a big blowout win, and the second one was, obviously, you know, you all mock them both. So,
yes.
So when that play happened, he, you know, ran up on me and was like, hey, man, it looks like you're getting the first Seahawks Super Bowl. I said, hey, this is Atlanta. This is far from over. Just hold your horses. Told my father the same thing at halftime. I said, just, you know, that felt great. That was an awesome 11 seconds, but just hold on. I was happy but hesitant.
Yes.
And I was hesitant for the right reason.
I reminded you of 28-3. And that number has been sort of a rallying cry for Patriots fans for, and it probably will be for the rest of eternity, 28-3, the comeback, 25 points being down. How are Falcon fans going to handle the highlight packages when it's time to kick off the season, it's time to go back to football, and they have to remember what happened the last time their team played in a real game?
It's truly stomach churning. For people like myself, the only way to kind of just, you know, get over it is to kind of just laugh about it, because I mean, goodness gracious, I mean, if any other team held a 25 point lead in the Super Bowl and they blew it, I mean, I think the shock factor would be greater, but this is Atlanta, and you know, despite all of our team's shortcomings, you know, we still love our Falcons and everything like that, but sometimes, you know, you just gotta laugh at it, man. I mean, they almost lost on a pick two last year to the Chiefs,
right?
You know, you can go back. I mean, me and a few of my colleagues, Atlanta natives, Georgia natives, some, you know, we wrote a post on, you know, if you're jumping on the Falcons bandwagon for the Super Bowl, this is what you need to know. And a lot of what you needed to know was a lot of heartbreak. So, you know, this is our franchise. But you know what? I think there's a lot of optimism around here. You know, there's a different vibe, a different feel, and people are, you know, really excited for the season now. The smarter ones, in my opinion, like myself, are kind of, you know, having reservations because we know what the Falcons are. It can take one Matt Ryan injury. It can take one Devontae Freeman injury, Julio Jones, Vic Beasley, and that's it, right? Like, that's what this game of football is. So, you know, there's excitement going into the season. Obviously, the Super Bowl is painful, still painful, but, you know, all you can do is move on. So, that's it.
Harry Lyles Jr., SB Nation, joining us here on Game Night. What does the opening of the Mercedes-Benz Stadium mean in terms of turning the page? Because the renderings we have seen, and I know the open air is not going to happen for the first couple of games, and people are upset about that, and that's a different topic. But just having a brand new stadium to move into, to kind of start fresh after what happened, does that help?
I think it helps. It definitely got the city excited. I will tell you that, you know, living in Atlanta my entire life, when you come up on the Georgia Dome, that's obviously a large facility. But when you drive up and you see the Mercedes-Benz Stadium next to it, it makes the Georgia Dome look like, you know, a basketball arena.
Wow.
It's gigantic. And it's incredible how beautifully constructed it is. I mean, usually you see these renderings of a lot of these stadiums and, you know, there's usually like little differences and things of that nature, but the way that they plan this thing out and the way that they've built, obviously, aside from, you know, the roof not being able to be open immediately, it's quite an amazing building. It's really breathtaking. It's going to be really nice for Falcons fans to take in games as much as, you know, sometimes things don't go our way. That's when the Falcons are good, that's a really good home field advantage that's criminally underrated in the NFL.
Do Falcon fans care that the first official game will not be a Falcons game, but rather a college football game played there?
You know, I don't think so. I would say because you also have to take into account, like, this is the capital of the Southeast. Like, college football is huge here. You know, you can drive, you know, 10 wheel rotations down the street and you'll see Vanderbilt, Georgia, Auburn, Alabama, and, like, you know, random schools like Ohio State and Clemson, bumper stickers, license plates, you name it. So this city loves college football. And honestly, it might even be a little bit fitting, you know, to see that huge game that we're going to be seeing, that coming Saturday, you know, in that building. So it's appropriate. I mean, I even wrote about that, you know, when the Falcons made it back to the Super Bowl, I said, you know, this place is also, you know, a second home for Alabama for as many, you know, SEC championships as they play in nowadays.
True.
So,
yeah, very true. Know. We have a huge crowd there for 1 versus 3 coming up in a couple of weeks for Alabama versus Florida State. Let me ask you about Colin Kaepernick and the latest with the Ravens, because it looks like the Dolphins are going to do and go back to history with Adam Gase and take Cutler. I don't think it's the right move, but I'm more comfortable with the decision to take Cutler based on history than I am with the Ravens and what the Ravens are doing with their backup quarterback spot with Colin Kaepernick. I had a guy on the air last night, Benjamin Albright in Denver, who said he's spoken to Kaepernick, and Kaepernick will take the league minimum and the chance to start to go play on a football team, meaning he's ended all the controversies about what Kaepernick is looking for. I know the blackball term is out there and whether it's true or not, but how do you see what the Ravens are doing with Colin Kaepernick right now?
Well, there's obviously a bunch of layers to this with Kaepernick, but at the end of the day, you know, by definition, he is not being blackballed, but is Colin Kaepernick being left out by the teams that could possibly use him because of his protest? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a reason the Jets have not signed him. Woody Johnson has donated to Donald Trump in, you know, his you know, campaign and everything else of that nature, as the ambassador to, you know, whoever, whatever.
Right, yeah.
But the Jets, he could be on the Jets today. You know, he could have been a Seahawk. Now, do I think Paul Allen, you know, doesn't respect Colin Kaepernick's stance? I can't say that for sure. I think that was more so that Russell Wilson is not necessarily a popular guy in that locker room. They didn't want to bring in another talent that could possibly, you know, I'm not going to say that Colin Kaepernick would go into Seattle and easily overtake Russell Wilson, but there's, like, guys in that locker room that love Colin Kaepernick, right? So they didn't want that problem. As far as the Ravens go, it is almost, like, funny how bad they handled that.
Yeah.
But also, you know, people say there was reports, yes, that Colin Kaepernick wanted $9 or $10 million. I would also, you know, like to remind people that he restructured his contract so he had no injury guarantee so he could start last year.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing very well that he was going to opt out of the contract because he wanted an opportunity to be a free agent as soon as possible to possibly land in the best situation for himself. So There's been a lot of reports that have strung out over the course of the summer that, you know, would lead you to believe that he can't play here or there for X, Y, and Z reasons when, you know, a lot of those, and I don't know if I'm not going to name the name of the reporter, but there has been a lot of reports coming from one source, from anonymous execs and GMs, and it's only coming from one place. So these reports have been carefully planted, and they're all coming from the same source. As far as the Ravens go, Kaepernick's a great fit. I think it's hilarious that, you know, Steve Vizziotti thinks that they should go to Ray Lewis and talk about it and ask fans to pray for them. I think that is just it's mind-numbingly stupid, to be quite honest with you. Dolphins, as far as the Dolphins go, Colin Kaepernick's a better quarterback than Jay Cutler.
I would agree.
He's a better quarterback, and he's got a better attitude. I mean, you know, if you've read some of these things that Jay Cutler's former teammates have said, it's almost like you'd rather just not play football at all than play with Jay Cutler. They just so happen to have a better excuse in the race, right?
He
played with Adam Gase, things of that nature. He was looking for the right situation, and there it is. So, you know, the Dolphins just turned out to be a little bit luckier than the Ravens.
Well, I got about 3 minutes left, and I want to get your opinion and your thoughts on why Michael Vick and Ray Lewis are looked to have comments, say comments about Colin Kaepernick, and why they feel like they're in any position, given their histories, to comment about Colin Kaepernick's behavior.
It's hard to say. I think first off, for those guys, it's easy to forget where you've been, because the way that we view Michael Vick is immensely different than the way that we viewed him 10, 11 years ago, right?
True.
He's paid his dues, he's done his time, so much to the point where, honestly, like, people in Atlanta have forgotten anything that Michael Vick did in his past.
Wow.
I'm sure a lot of people in Baltimore feel the same way about Ray Lewis, right? He brought him 2 Super Bowls. You know, he's viewed as this, you know, great emotional leader, things of that nature. But, you know, also at the same time, certain networks will put on the voices that they know that are going to spew things that they want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
I think Michael Vick had good intentions when he told Colin Kaepernick he wanted to cut his hair, but that doesn't make it okay, and he was wrong.
Yeah.
Ray Lewis, you know, I don't know a whole lot to say there. Didn't Ray Lewis meet with Donald Trump?
I don't know, but it wouldn't surprise me at all.
No, I mean, I think the thing is, you know, Ray played for Steve Asciotti. Like, a lot of these NFL players, you know, they don't want to step out of bounds. Because a lot of people, like, there's a reason you didn't see a lot of NFL players do what Colin Kaepernick did, because they know that it would cost them their job.
Right.
You know, like, Donald Sterling was, you know, a bad egg. Like, I think people would be kind of surprised. Like, there's a lot more Donald Sterlings out there. They're just not out in the open about it. Like, it took, 30 years for us to find out Donald Sterling was as bad as he was.
Right.
You know, like, it's not uncommon. So these players know that, okay, I can do this or I can make my living, because a lot of these guys don't have options outside of that.
Right. Harry, great stuff tonight. Really appreciate the time.
Thanks, Matt. How's it going?
That is Harry Lyles Jr., SB Nation, one of my favorite writers, SBNation.com. You can follow him at Harry Lyles Jr. I would recommend it for sure. Who you got? We got to bring on Mr. Chris Tubbs for this. I think this is his debut on Who You Got. We'll do that next. SB Nation Radio.